I've often thought of what it must have been like to be one of the disciples and to be with Jesus for his earthly ministry. I've often thought what a privilege it would have been to have been there physically with him and to hear him pray for them as a group, and I'm sure he prayed for them as individuals. And tonight, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you that Jesus prayed for us. Amen. We're going to read the prayer that he prayed for us and what he prayed for us, but what a wonderful thought it is that the Savior, while he walked the face of the earth, had us in mind and actually prayed for us as individuals and prayed for us as a church. We read from John 17. John 17 takes place the night before Jesus went to the cross. The Passover supper had ended, the Lord's Supper, Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room, and they had left the upper room and they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, in chapter 18, verse 1, verse 1 and 18 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. So he made this trip from the upper room. He spoke these words as he was making that trip. Don't know exactly where he was. But chapter 17 is a prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed. In fact, you go back and you look at verse 1 in chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he was praying. He was making this trip. He was talking to his disciples, and he was praying. And again, we often find him in prayer. Many times Jesus would go off by himself to pray and spend hours in prayer. Other times he would pray with his disciples. And it's always amazed me that Christians thought that they could get by without praying. The Son of God couldn't. Jesus had to pray. It was needful for him to pray. And it always amazes me that some Christians think they can get by with just a short prayer here, or a short prayer before they eat, or a short prayer before to go to bed. Our Savior is our example of much time in prayer. So he was on his way to the garden. He would spend time in prayer. He'd ask his three closest disciples to join him in prayer, but they would fall asleep. He would come back twice and wake them up, but they would fall asleep. He would be arrested. Judas would lead the temple guards to the garden where Judas knew he would be, and he would be arrested. He would be taken before the high priest and then before the council. He would be falsely tried. He would be convicted. He would be sent to Pilate. He would be whipped and beaten by the Roman soldiers and finally taken to Golgotha and crucified. And so the night before all that happened, I mean, just a few hours before all that happened, what would he pray for? I mean, he was making the trip from the upper room to the garden where he would be arrested and his agony would start. What would he pray for? Would he pray that he would escape what was coming? No. That's why he came. I mean, he came to go to the cross and die for us. He would not pray that God would take him away from that. Would he pray for strength to endure what was coming? No, he didn't need to pray for that because he knew that his Father would give him the strength that he would need. Would he pray that the 11 disciples would just stay true and stay loyal and not forsake him? No, he knew that they would all flee, that they would all leave him alone. What did he pray for? I mean, the night before he was going to be, the night that he was arrested, the night that he was going to be beaten and whipped. What would he pray for the night before he was going to go to the cross and die for our sins? What would he pray for? Here's what he prayed for in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He was leaving these men to carry on his work. He was going to send them into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And yet, Jesus doesn't pray for their boldness. He doesn't pray for their wisdom. He doesn't pray for their might. The thing that he prays for, listen to this, the thing that he prays for is them to be as one. He prays for them to be together. He prays for them to be in unity. Now these 11 men, they were going to be arrested. They would be beaten. They would suffer for their master's sake. All of them, except for one, would meet horrific deaths. One would be beheaded. One would be filleted. One would be crucified upside down. And yet, Jesus, knowing all that, doesn't pray for their courage. He doesn't pray for their strength. He doesn't pray for their patience. He prays that they would be one. He prays that they would have unity. The Holy Spirit had already been promised. The Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit would give boldness. The Holy Spirit would give wisdom to the disciples. The Holy Spirit would give them might. The Holy Spirit would give them courage. The Holy Spirit would give them strength. The Holy Spirit would give them patience. Jesus knew that they needed all that, but he said, and he told them after this occasion later on, but he would tell them, don't leave Jerusalem, don't leave this place, don't get started doing what I want you to do until the Holy Spirit comes. Because the Holy Spirit is going to impart unto you what you need to do to go out and keep my commission, to go out and tell the world about me. And so he prayed for what he knew the disciples would need over and above what the Holy Spirit was going to give them. Yes, they would need boldness, and yes, they would need wisdom, and yes, they would need might, and yes, they would need courage, and yes, they would need strength, and yes, they would need patience. But he prayed, I want them to be as one. Amen. Father, as you and I are one, I want them to be one. Now, when Jesus prayed that for the disciples, he also prayed that for us. He prayed that for you and I. He prayed that for our church. We read it in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, not just for these 11 men that are with me now, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hey, you and I tonight are part of that them. He said, I not only pray for these, but I pray for them which also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We're part of that them. We have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, when I say he prayed for us as a church, this church is not the building. This church is us. Amen. This church is this called out body of believers that God has joined together in this body. And our membership role doesn't make us our church. In fact, there may be some people on our membership role that are not saved. And being on the membership role, being baptized, doesn't get them ready for heaven. The only thing that gets you ready for heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's not the church. Church is a good thing. It's not baptism. Baptism is a good thing. But none of that gets you ready for heaven. The only thing that gets you ready for heaven, listen to me tonight, is putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trusting what he did on Calvary. And so, we're them. We're part of them. Because those disciples went into the world and preached the gospel. And somebody got saved when one of those disciples was preaching. And they went and witnessed to somebody else. 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 And one of them, you can follow that path from the disciples down, 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 down. Somebody witnessed to my grandma. And my grandma witnessed to me. And you, every single one of you tonight, have the same story. One of those people witnessed to somebody that witnessed to you. And you're part of that them tonight because the word was spread from that original disciple down to us. And when Jesus prayed, I not only pray for these 11 men, I pray for them that are going to be saved through their word. Now, what did he pray? He prayed the same thing for us that he prayed for the disciples, that they all may be one. Amen. that they all may be one, that they be unified, that they be together. And notice, there's nobody left out. He said that, he said there in verse 21, that they all, those little words in the Bible are important. Not 90%, not 95%, but 100%, that they all may be one. Father, just like you and I are one, I want them to be one. One in purpose, one in method, one in truth. No division, no disagreement. Now, let me tell you what it means to be one, like God and Jesus were one. When Jesus came to earth, he said, "I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father." Even here, as he was going to go into the garden, he prayed that very thing. "Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done." Throughout his ministry, the 3 years plus that he walked the face of the earth, that was his prayer. That was his aim. That was his purpose, to do the will of his Father, to do the will of God. That's how we have unity. That's how we are one with each other. Verse 21, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Okay, so how do we do that? How do we have that unity that Jesus prayed for us to have? How do we have that oneness with one another that Jesus had with God the Father? Very simple. First of all, we get in the Father. We get in the Father. How do we get in the Father? We get in the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. "No man cometh to the Father but by me." How do we get in the Father? We get saved. How do we get in the Father? We believe that we're a sinner. How do we get in the Father? We realize there's a penalty for that sin. How do we get in the Father? We realize that Jesus paid for the penalty that we owe. How do we get in the Father? We come to him as a penitent sinner and say, "Lord, I deserve the punishment that comes with sin. I deserve to be separated from you. But I believe you sent your Son to die in my place. And right now, I'm claiming the salvation that you bought for me. I'm claiming the payment you made for my sins. I'm asking you, Jesus, to be my Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from their sin. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord gets in the Father. We get in the Father. We become one with him. How does the Father get in us? When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. Amen. We get the Holy Spirit. We get God inside of us. And we need to do the same thing that Jesus did when the Holy Spirit enters into us. "Not my will, but thy will be done." Listen, it's not what we think, it's what God thinks. It's not what we want to do, it's what God wants us to do. It's not what we aim to do. It's not what we set out to do. If we set out to do what we want to do, if we aim to do what we want to do, we're not going to be one with the Father. Because many times we want to do things that God doesn't want us to do. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Too many people think they know more about being God than God does. And we want to tell God what to do. We want to give God advice. I'm going to tell you tonight, God don't need our advice. He don't need our counsel. There's nothing that we can teach God. There's nothing that we can advise God on. I mean, he is almighty, sovereign God, and he has a plan for each of our life. He'll reveal that plan to us, and what we need to do is we need to get saved, to be in the Father, and then we need to say to the Holy Spirit, "Not what I want, not what I desire, not what I think is right, but you tell me what's right. What do you want me to do? You direct me, and I will do." And again, that's how we stay together. Look. Listen, reason with me. If we're all in the Father, and if the Father's all in us, how are we going to disagree? How are we going to argue? How are we going to quarrel? It will be impossible. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of division. If we are in Him and He is in us, we're going to have the blessed unity, the oneness that God wants us to have, that God the Father and God the Son had with each other. Now, why? Why did Jesus want the disciples to have that oneness? Why did Jesus pray for us that we would have that oneness? It's there in the last part of verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. That's why Jesus wanted the disciples to have that oneness that He and the Father had. That's why Jesus prayed for us to have that oneness. That's why God wants us to have that oneness, so that we can go out into the world and we can tell people about Jesus, and the world will believe that the Father sent Jesus for them. Amen. For them. Now, I want everybody to understand, I'm not preaching against a problem tonight. We don't have a problem with our unity. I thank God every day for the spirit of oneness and unity we have in this church. Amen. I ask God every day, please protect it. Oh, put your arms of protection, your strong arms around us, and keep Satan out. Because God's not the author of confusion, but the devil is. He's the author of confusion. He'd like nothing better to drive a wedge between us. But God wants us to be one so that we can go out and tell men and women and boys and girls about the one who left heaven, came and lived among men, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, and then went to the cross and died for them. That's why He wants us to be one, like He and the Son were one, so that we can go out and tell people about Jesus. And I know that every person here knows what I'm about to say, but the worst testimony a church can have is to have division. Division. It'll rob a church of its blessing. It'll rob a church of doing what God has called it to do. Amen. So let's be one. If you're not in the Father tonight, you need to get saved. You need to come to Jesus. You need to receive the gift that He purchased on Calvary for you. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. Now yield yourself to Him. Not my will, thy will be done. Your will be done. And we can be one. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Jesus, for praying for us that night. You were on Your way to the cross. You were on Your way to suffer like no one has ever suffered. And You were on Your way to do that because You loved us. And yet, on the way to that cross, You took time to pray for us, that we would be in You, and You in us. I pray that that would be true of every person tonight. And I pray, Father, if it's not, that tonight You would use this time of invitation to convict us. If we're not in the Father, if we're here tonight and we're not saved, help us not to leave this place without coming to Christ. And Father, if we're fighting the Holy Spirit about something tonight, help us to just get out the white flag and surrender. Help us just to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build Your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.